Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's a teaching in Judges 10 by Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane, called The Cycle of Misery.
Hey, you can open your Bibles to Judges chapter 10. We're going to be in Judges 10 tonight. Another warm and fluffy message from the book of Judges for you. The Cycle of Misery is our title tonight. My dad, Pastor Michael, walked in earlier and he said, did you pick a title for your message? And I said, yeah, I came up with a real warm one. It's called A Cycle of Misery. So, and then he said, who picked the book of Judges to go through? And I just looked at him because it was him. So, now, I've actually really enjoyed this study. When I was in seminary, I took a verse-by-verse class through the book of Judges, and it was actually one of my favorite classes on a book of the Bible. I have often said that if they wanted to make a really good TV series or movie series, they could just make movies on the book of Judges and not change anything about them, just verbatim, and it would be really entertaining, war movies and things like that. So if you like Lord of the Rings and stuff, this would be, I think, even better. Just this crazy tale of this nation's very, very muddy and riddled history. So Israel is going to get into some more trouble in chapter 10, though chapter 10 kind of takes on a different tone than some of the previous chapters. In fact, thus far through the book of Judges, it's been pretty crazy. There's been a lot of action, and some scholars have referred to chapter 10 as almost something like an intermission or a brief interlude in this story throughout Judges. So we're following kind of the narrative and the nation's history as the people of Israel continue to turn their back on God, they repent, and hence our title tonight, this cycle of misery. It's like they get rescued by God, they're good for a minute, then they turn back to their sinful ways, they are oppressed by the Canaanites and the surrounding nations, and then they repent of God, call on him for deliverance, and then he redeems them, and then the cycle starts all over. And so if you've been with us for the first 9 chapters, you've seen that cycle unfold quite a few times at this point. You know, kind of just an overview of where we're at tonight. We have been in Judges for a little while, so I think sometimes it's worth... do you guys have my slideshow? It's not working? Let's see if I hit this button that says go. Yeah, look at that. Hey, all right. So I don't know. I know there's controversies around the Bible Project as a company and some of their leaders, but I do think they have really good resources for the scripture overviews. I really enjoy the artwork that it brings too. So anyway, this is just something from thebibleproject.com. I'm not expressly endorsing everything they stand for, but I think these are really cool. And we know that if we jump into the first 2 chapters of this book, we saw that there's the 12 tribes. They're surrounded by Canaanites. We know that this goes back to the book of Joshua. There's conflict, and there's been issues amongst the people, pagan influence, moral corruption, and detestable practices that we see in the pagan worship that happens. Chapter 2 starts to allude to this cycle that we're referencing tonight again, that the people sin, they are oppressed, then they repent. They receive a judge from the Lord who delivers them. There's peace for a time. They sin again, and the cycle just continues, as you can see at the bottom of the screen. And so it just is this perpetuating problem of this vicious cycle that just continues for this people. And there's really nothing new under the sun, because they've been complaining for some time since they were delivered into the wilderness, out of Egypt, into the wilderness. It took, a few days before they were already crying about going back to Egypt. And I just watched that VeggieTales with my kids the other day, where one of the guys says, but we were slaves! And they're like, but we had everything we needed, you know? And so, just great. VeggieTales just teaching the gospel right there. The people are complaining and crying in the midst of God delivering them. So then we know the book, you can kind of think about the book so far broken up into these sections. This is also why I really like these resources, because it's a great overview. 1 and 2 kind of lays the groundwork. And then... the behavior of the nation just digresses. You can see category one there in the middle. It says pretty good. They have Othniel, they have Ehud, the left-handed swordsman. He gets Eglon there, what the scripture says, literally the fat king. Then we see Deborah and Jael with the tent peg, some nice, really clean stories, not gruesome at all, like people getting stabbed in the head with tent pegs. And then we get to our okay section, 6 through 9. We see Gideon. That's what Sherman just taught us. And we see Gideon's story is great for a minute. It's like, man, he defeats this army. He's outnumbered, defeats the Midianites. And then he goes crazy and kills a bunch of people and erects a bunch of pagan altars and dies. And you're like, wow, that's a bummer. He was doing good. Thought there might be some hope. And then he does that. And then we're now in what this categorizes as the bad section, and it does get worse than bad. And we're about to step into a new judge you'll see next week. His name's Jephthah, but we're not there yet tonight. And Jephthah is going to it's just going to get even worse. So it's entertaining nonetheless, but there's a lot of hard lessons for us in this text. And so that's kind of a reminder of where we are at. In chapter 10, most of Judges 10 centers around the land of Gilead. Gilead is on the west side of the Jordan River, which is right there. Gad's land and the southern part of Manasseh's territory were in Gilead as well. So geographically, that's kind of where we're at tonight. We've seen these judges so far in the book. We've seen Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, who has pretty much left the nation in ruins. Abimelech, self-serving, tries to, you know, basically be a king, even though he's not a king. And he does a lot of foolish things and leaves the people in a worse spot than he got them in. And now we're going to see two minor judges in chapter 10. That's Tola and Jer. And then Jephthah, who I mentioned, he's next. So that's kind of where we're at tonight. So let's just go ahead and let's just read the section together. If you want to stand as we read, that'd be great. And this is a little bit of we're going to do all of chapter 10 tonight. So I'm going to read through it. I'm reading from the ESV tonight. And you know what we'll do for the sake of time? We're going to go ahead and let's just read verses 1 and 2. So I just made you stand up to read two verses, but that's okay. You stretch your legs. It says, after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo. Some great names right out of the gate for us. At least they're easy to say. A man of Issachar, and he lived at Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim, verse 2, and he judged Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried at Shamir. Lord, we pray that as we read your word and read through this passage tonight, that you would equip us, that you would give us wisdom. Lord, there's going to be some necessary questions that we need to ask ourselves tonight as we look at the state of your people in this particular time in history. It would be easy for us to shake our head in disbelief at their behavior, but frankly, each one of us has been a nation. We've been a person who has cheated on you, who's turned our backs on you. And so as we view this story tonight, may we do some self-examination and ask, where am I actually at in my allegiance to the Lord? And how am I dealing with sin in my own life? Am I letting it continue to control my life, or am I surrendering it at the feet of Jesus? And so through Holy Spirit, we ask for your leading and your guiding and discernment. Fill us with wisdom tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. So Judges verses 1 and 2. So it says, after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel. And saving is certainly necessary after Abimelech. You know where we left things off last week. It's a mess. And so here's this man. He is what we would call a minor judge. And that's just simply because we don't have much about Tola. We know Tola means worm in Hebrew, so that's not great for him. I don't know if you would want to be named worm. I think there was something else about sacred scarlet is another translation. But either way, not a great name. You guys can laugh. His name means worm. All right. So, and then his parents have interesting names too. Pua and son of Dodo. And he's from Issachar. And it says that he rule. He was a judge for 23 years, and then he died, and he was buried at Shamir. That's pretty much all we know about Tola. We don't really know anything else about him. And I think that that's intentional, maybe, in the way that the Lord has put together the text here. Tola is the seventh judge of Israel, and he's a minor judge, not a lot of details. And yet, it would seem that Tola offers a brief moment of relief and peace for the people in the wake of Abimelech's leadership. So Abimelech comes in, and it's a disaster. And it would seem, based on the language in the text, that Tola brings what you could consider just like a breath of fresh air for a minute. There's been chaos in the people and in the land for some time, wars and divisions, and it's as if for a moment Tola rules for this 23-year period and there's peace.
You'll hear more from Pastor Shane Lance in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk, or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Hey there. Are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show.
Now, back to Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane, on Walk in Truth.
We don't really know anything else about him. And I think that that's intentional, maybe, in the way that the Lord has put together the text here. Tola is the seventh judge of Israel, and he's a minor judge, not a lot of details. And yet, it would seem that Tola offers a brief moment of relief and peace for the people in the wake of Abimelech's leadership. So Abimelech comes in, and it's a disaster. And it would seem, based on the language in the text, that Tola brings what you could consider just like a breath of fresh air for a minute. There's been chaos in the people and in the land for some time, wars and divisions, and it's as if for a moment Tola rules for this 23-year period, and there's peace. You know, leaders like Tola are important. One of the commentators I was reading told a story of a time where he was in a fellowship many years ago. The lead pastor at the church had a moral failing, and the church was in a desperate place, right? On the verge of losing the whole church congregation, everybody parting ways. And he tells the story of a pastor and his wife who just came in and just faithfully shepherded the people through that season. And Gary Webb, the commentator, goes on to say that he wasn't an excellent teacher. He wasn't the most charismatic guy, but he was just faithful and consistent in a season where the church was reeling from this happening, and they just needed somebody to just be faithful. And it reminds me of a few things. It reminds me that first and foremost, leaders are supposed to be clothed in humility. That should be a marker of a good leader, is humility. And secondly, God is not interested in using the most talented, the most gifted, the most charismatic people to accomplish his will. Oftentimes, it's the people that the world would least expect, and dare I say, the church would sometimes least expect. because the church falls captive to the same temptation to gravitate towards charisma and towards people who are talented, but those people are not necessarily the most godly people in every situation. Now, that doesn't mean that godly people can't also be talented and be charismatic and those things. When those things marry, it's a great thing. But I will say that the church has been guilty of oftentimes putting people in places of leadership whose charisma outpaces their character. And so we're far more concerned about somebody being a good communicator and not so concerned about if they're actually dedicated to the Lord and in His Word and willing to shepherd through the hard times. Because it's easy to stand up here and try to inspire people for a few minutes, but that's not really what church leadership ultimately is. And so Tola, in many ways, is the humble leader that I believe the people needed for this season. And so he comes in, and for 23 years, he just offers what it would seem from what little we have in the text, at least a time, a break from the chaos for a minute. And I am reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Paul says to the church in Corinth, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, and not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth, you know, some sort of royalty." Verse 27, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing to things that are, so that no human being," this is the key, this is why God operates this way, right? "So that no human being might boast in the presence of God, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Amen. Our boast is in God. It's not in our own abilities or our own accomplishments. In fact, what you see all throughout the scripture is that as soon as pride starts to take root in the hearts of men and women who God's trying to use, things fall apart really quickly, don't they? Because pride separates us from God. Pride is the thing that keeps us living in sin. Pride is the thing that will drive a deeper and deeper wedge between us and the ones that we love the most. When a marriage is not working out and a couple comes in for marriage counseling, you can almost bet every time that both of them are being prideful in some way, shape, or form. Both of them are unwilling to look at their own lives and say, you know what? Maybe I'm not as great as I think I am. And sometimes it takes a person other than your spouse in your marriage to say, yeah, you know what? You might not be as great as you think you are. You might not be as easy to live with as you think you are. And pride can be that thing that drives a deep wedge. And so then we see Jair. He comes into the picture, and it says in verse 3 of Judges 10, "After him arose Jair the Gileadite, who judged Israel 22 years. So now we have another about 22-year period, and he had 30 sons, I cannot imagine. And they rode on 30 donkeys. Now, this is what this is telling us is that he's pretty well to do. He's got a lot of money. And they had 30 cities called Havoth Jair to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Come On. And all I can say about Jair's life is come on. It's not great. I know that was a really bad pastor joke. Did you like that? I listened to Pastor Michael too much up here with the. And I've only done one impression tonight so far, so. Okay, and so here's this next minor judge that comes into the picture in chapter 10. Jair shows up, and there is not much said about Jair except for the fact that basically, here's the gist of what the scripture just said. He was living lavishly, and it seems as though he was living to serve himself. Obviously, we have to make some conclusions just based on assumption tonight because there's so little in the text. But here's what I will tell you. What happens after Jair's reign or his rule as a judge is more folly and foolishness on the behalf of the people. And so the rational or the logical conclusion for us to draw tonight is that he didn't set a very good tone for the nation. And so it says that he had 30 sons, and this also tells us that he probably had many wives. Does God advocate for having many wives? This is something that you should know, because I've been asked this by non-believers. Well, how come people like King David, who, it says that he was a man after God's own heart, had multiple wives? How did King Solomon have multiple wives? So what you have to understand is God never approved that. God never stamps his stamp of approval on that behavior. These are foolish men doing something foolish. So just because it's the narrative doesn't make it the normative. Just because it's in the text doesn't mean that God is putting his stamp of approval on it. We have to understand that about, especially these Old Testament scriptures that can be really brutal, is that these are historical recordings of actual happenings in history. And the Bible doesn't shy away. Clearly, we are in the book of Judges. Hello. The Bible does not shy away from people's shortcomings and sinful behavior. It just puts it out in plain view. And so just because something is in the narrative of the story doesn't mean that it's being advocated by God or approved by God. Understand that? So we have to know that the behavior of some of these men is just sin. It's sinful behavior. It's foolish behavior. And so it's safe to assume that J.R. has many wives. He has lots of money, and it looks as though what we can gather from the text that he's trying to create a little Jer dynasty. He's got 30 sons, and they've got 30 cities and 30 donkeys, and they're riding around. And my guess is that they're all decked out in the latest, fanciest garb, and they think they're the best thing since sliced bread. And that's what JR's legacy is that he leaves behind. And it's a useless, foolish legacy to leave behind. Unfortunately, that's the only thing the scripture records about his time as judge over Israel, is that he had a lot of money and everybody knew it. Congratulations, JR.
You've been listening to The Cycle of Misery, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Shane Lance's teaching in Judges chapter 10. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lance. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Hey, if you'd like to visit us, I have the privilege of being the senior pastor of Living Truth Christian Fellowship here in the city of Corona. We're pretty much right where the 91 and 15 freeways cross each other on the border of Corona and Norco. We do two Sunday morning services, 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We have a Spanish service at 1 p.m. And we have an incredible congregation, loving, passionate. We have incredible worship, incredible servants, a great children's ministry, an incredible youth group. I mean, I could go on and on about the awesome people that are here. And our second service is usually pretty packed. So if you're an early riser, you might want to try that 8:30 a.m. service. There's a little bit more parking and wiggle room. But either way, come and visit us, 8:30, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. You can get information and driving directions when you go to walkintruth.com. Click on that church tab, walkintruth.com. Click on the church tab. I'm usually outside trying to say hi to people if I'm not back praying before the service. And the teaching that you're hearing right here on Walk in Truth comes from the pulpit of Living Truth. And we happen to be going through the glorious Gospel of Matthew. We're kind of winding down, getting close to the teaching on eschatology and all of that. So if you want to check it out, now would be the time. Walkintruth.com. Click on that church tab and you'll get everything you need to get here. Don't forget, if you can't make it, we do live stream the second service, 10:30 a.m. on our YouTube channel. And you can connect to all that at walkintruth.com. Have a tremendous weekend. The Lord bless you, and we'll see you, Lord willing, Monday.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us Monday for part two of Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges 10 called The Cycle of Misery.
And here's a question for you tonight. Are you prepared for a spiritual drought? Have you stored up the word of God in your heart so that if that season comes where it's a drought and it feels like you're out of strength, you have something to fall back on? Or are you just scraping by, living spiritually paycheck to paycheck, Sunday to Sunday? Or are you storing up the word of God in your heart? Leaders and men of God and women of God that do that will be sustained.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.